Good morning, everyone. You know, when I was writing this, I wondered, why? Why, Lord, have you given me this message? You know, but when you think about what we've been talking about this morning, here, unscripted, I think it'll open up and we'll understand. And I'll understand better why he's given me it, because I struggled with this, I'll be honest. But bear with it. It's not of me, it's from the Lord. So let's just come to the Lord before I start. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will just guide me through this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord. Lord, give me the words, because we want to hear from you this morning. And Lord, just feed us, we pray. We are sheep of your pasture and we need your sustenance to help us and enable us to grow as you would have us. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm entitled this morning's message, Understanding Our Bibles. You know, and it's important, because if you don't read your Bible, how can you possibly understand it? You know, if you don't get involved in something, you will never understand it. My wife doesn't understand rugby, but if she sat down with me for about 6 or 8 weeks, watched it, she would get to understand a bit about it. Football, she used to follow me a long time ago about football, when I was a young referee and not there. And she was interested. And because she was interested, she could understand and watch it with me and enjoy it. But if you don't understand it, how can you enjoy it? So I believe that understanding of the scripture is the first lesson that we need to learn if we're to grow and build upon our faith. The Bible is the word of God, as we can read in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, where we're told, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Couldn't be any clearer. It's important that we recognize that the Bible is the word of God, and that the word of God is God breathed. It's a living, it's an active thing. It's not just a book that we pick up and read and it's a good story. It's active in our lives. It should be active in our lives. And I'm sure that, like me, you'll have read and reread maybe certain passages, and each time you read it, you get a different message from it. That's because it is a living word of God, because it's active. And the Holy Spirit meets us where we are at that time. And he feeds us to fulfill that need that we have. And it always amazes me. You know, I never get tired of reading scripture. I've read the Bible for a year, probably now for the last, 15, 16 years. And each time I get something new from it. It's never boring. There's not many books I'll read once, never mind twice, you know, other than the Bible. So it is important that we remember that it is the living word. In 1 John 5, 1-13, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, that's you and me, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, that's a beautiful passage. It's hard at times to get your head around, but when you read it, you realize that you've got the blessed assurance then that you are his if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's re-emphasized again in John, in the Gospel of John 10:27-29, two verses which I'm sure you're well aware of. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, I don't know about you, but that passage of Scripture never ceases to reassure me of the Lord's want and love for each one of who believes in him. And it moved King David, you know, in Psalm 51:1-2, we read, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." You see, David had a close affinity with God. He had a close relationship with God. He didn't know Jesus, but he knew the Father. And he had a close, and he realized that he had to go to God for forgiveness of sin. And he called upon the Lord. And you know, the same is applicable to us today. When we sin, we will feel just as separated from God as what David did then when he made that appeal to the Lord, "Have mercy on me." And you know, when that happens, we can feel lost, we can feel ashamed. And the only option, the only way back out of it, is to get down on your knees and repent and to seek the Lord and ask, as David did, to be compassionate and to blot out our transgressions. You know, and if we do that, God will do that. And not only does he forgive us our sins, he forgets about them. We can forgive about things that people do to us, but it's very hard to forget, isn't it, that somebody hurt you? It's easy to sort of like forgive them temporarily until the next time. But you know, God forgives and forgets, and that is brilliant. You know, he not only forgives and forgets, he provides a guide for us on how we can avoid all that conflict in the first time, if we are sensible enough to follow it. In 1 Corinthians 10:12-13, we're reminded, "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." You know, what a God we have. He knows the difficulties we're going to have. He knows the problems we're going to have. But if we rely on him and call upon his name, he is faithful and he will help us through it. But remember, it'll only happen in his power and in his strength. You know, Jesus directed his disciples. We read in Matthew, you all know this passage very well, Matthew 28, and just two verses, 19 to 20. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Now here in that passage from the Great Commission, I believe that Jesus is demanding our obedience to God's will. Now that's simple enough, isn't it? But it's hard for us to do at times because our sinful nature gets in the way. Our sinful nature will always try to cause interference when it comes to how we discern God's will and, more importantly, carry it out. It's all right hearing from God and understanding what He wants to do, but that's not good enough. We've got to act upon it. We've got to put it into practice. You know, Proverbs 3:6 tells us, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." You know, when you hear God's will and you direct it, He will take you through step by step in His hand to hand. He's beside you all the way. And He will give you the power to succeed. We might be afraid and timid at times. I know I am at times whenever I get a word from the Lord, go and do this or go and talk to that one. But you know, when you go through it and you do it, you start doing it. It's like riding a bike for the first time. You're afraid when it's shaking all over the place. But once you get the momentum and you're going, it's wow, this is great. It's the same with the Lord. If you step out in faith, He will sustain you. And that's what we need to know. And the only way you're going to know that and get that confidence is by studying the Scripture and seeing what all of the great men of faith, as mentioned in the Bible, understood. You know, they weren't perfect. We're not perfect. But God still recognized them as men of faith. You know, and He will recognize us as men and people of faith if we are prepared to step out and be active and do His will when He tells us. I don't think I need to add anything to that verse. It seems, put it in a nutshell, the only way to please God is by acknowledging Him and to be following His will. In Romans 10:11-17, we read, "Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are those feet of those who bring the good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." So, we're not going to hear the word of Christ other than by reading our Bibles. That's how He speaks to us, through His word, His living word, through the Bibles, through songs and choruses, because Scripture is involved in lots of things which we can enjoy, because our Lord is a Lord of variety. He doesn't just stick to one source. He gives us music to enjoy. He gives us His word. And a lot of His saints have put His word into songs. And sometimes the songs are easier to remember than the Scriptures. You know, you think of some of the things that you learned as a kiddie in Sunday school or whatever, and they stick in there. You're doing the dishes and they come in and you can sing them. But somebody asks you, can you remember what it says in Colossians on blah blah blah, you think, well, no, not off the top of my head, but as soon as you open it, it comes back to you if you've read it. If you haven't read it, you're going to learn something new, aren't you? But it's straightforward. Faith comes from hearing, and the only way you're going to hear is by reading the Word of God. And by reading the Word of God, you will discover the spiritual gifts that the Lord has in store for each one of you. In Romans 12:6-8, we read, different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is in teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. You know, whatever you do, we must do it as we're doing it for the Lord. Why? Because that's the only reason we do it, is to please the Lord. Because it doesn't come natural to us. It's not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. So we need to be tuned in to what the Lord's will for each one of us is. You remember, disciples asked Jesus, because they saw Jesus going and praying to the Father, and they didn't understand what was happening. So they said, teach us to pray. And in Matthew 6, 9 to 13, the short version, Jesus told them, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, they saw Jesus' power came from the Father. And they wanted to be in on the act, as it were. And we need to want to be in on the act, as it were, as well. We need to pray. Because prayer is the power. And the power of prayer comes from God, our Heavenly Father, who, if we listen for his voice, he will even prompt us as to how we should be praying. I don't know about you, but there are times when I get into devotions and I think, I don't know what I'm going to pray about. And we done it this morning. We sat quietly. You know, when you're sitting quietly, if you're listening, just sitting quietly, not falling asleep, but if you're listening for the Lord, he will prompt you on what needs our prayer, what his concerns, what our concerns should be for this world. And you know, King David, I think, is a good example. That's why I've used him the first. And I'm going to finish with a lot from Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in our Bibles. But I think it's beautiful, but the way I've had to work it into the message, I've broke it up, so I wouldn't expect you to follow it all, because I'll be jumping about from verse to verse. Psalm 119, verse 18 reads, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, the only way we're going to see the wonderful things in his law is through reading and understanding our Bibles. It's important that we regularly spend time exploring your scriptures if we hope to have a good understanding of our Bible. Now, that shouldn't be too difficult for us, eh? We do that every day, don't we? Don't we? What we need to remember is what I like to call the three T's. The Bible is timeless. It is the truth. And it is a treasure. There is nothing more precious than the Word of God. Yes, the Bible is timeless. Verse 89 of Psalm 119 reads, your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Couldn't be any plainer than that. The second truth, 142 tells us, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. And the third one, the Bible is a treasure. In verse 72, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. That's what David thought. You know, and he is considered a man of faith. So I would put my belief in the Lord rather than in David, but it's the Lord who's speaking through David in those scriptures. After the three T's comes what I like to call the three P's. The Bible, it needs to be prayed over. We should pray before we come to the Lord and ask for Him to direct us and to open up and expand it to us, and so that we can fully grasp the understanding and that He talks to us through His Word. It needs to be pondered over. We need to think about what we've read and how it applies to our lives. Because, as we've already read, all Scripture is useful for teaching us, disciplining us, rebuking us and reproving us. And the most important part, I think, the third P, is it needs to be practiced. It needs to be put into action because it is the living Word of God. It's not a dead thing, it's a living thing, it's active. And we've got to be active in it. Yes, the Bible, it needs to be prayed over. And verse 12, we read, "Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees." The Bible needs to be pondered over. In verse 147 to 148, we read, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." And the Bible needs to be practiced. We can read in verse 1 to 5 from Psalm 119. "Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the laws of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down your precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees." Now, those five verses put it better than I could ever put it. How then can we understand our Bibles better? Well, I believe the answer is when we've accepted all of the above truths that we've just read, and we take them from the Bible, from that same passage in the Psalms. Verse 45 tells us, "I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts." The Bible isn't something to trap us, to hold us, to curtail us. It's to set us free so that we can move about and feel free. We've got to be able to be free to grow. If you bind something in a little pot when you plant a tree, it won't grow any further than the pot will allow the roots to spread out because it can't get the nutrients it needs. So you've got to put it in a bigger pot if you want it to grow into a bigger tree. And it's the same with us. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to get into our souls to help us to grow. Growth, verse 32. "I run in the paths of your command, for you have broadened my understanding." Without our Bibles, we don't know what we're supposed to be doing because we're not following what the Lord has set out for us to do. And the other thing we miss out on if we don't have that is joy. Because how can we have joy in anything if we don't know what it's about? It's like I said about in my illustration about rugby and the football and that there. If you don't understand, how can you have joy? How can you enjoy it? You can't. In verse 32, we read, "I run in the path of your command," for your enjoyment. But in the joy one, in 54, "your decrees are the theme of my song, wherever I lodge." What do we do when we're happy? We sing normally, don't we? It makes me happy. And when, even when I'm doing the dishes and it's boring, a little chorus will come into my heart and away I go. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You won't find that in the Bible in that specific format, but it's in there in Scripture. And we, as well as victory, growth, joy, we need power. And Park, in verse 28, we read, "My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." So it's evident from that verse that we need the scriptures, the word of God, to strengthen us, to give us the power that we need to face all the things that are going to come against us in this world. Because when you come to the Lord, you're not in for a free ride, you're in for a fight. Because that's why we're called soldiers. Yeah? We're soldiers for the gospel. And what do we need if you're a soldier? Rob was in the Air Force, as I was in the Air Force. I think Mike was in the police. Any of the forces. You need guidance. Because without guidance, you can go down the wrong road. And we've just sung about it today. And it's where the song came from. From this lovely psalm in verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." You know, so that's why it's important that we understand our Bible. How many of us have bought a piece of furniture in the form of a flat pack and commenced to assemble it, or try to assemble it, in my case, without bothering to refer to the instructions? Because we men, we don't need instructions, do we? We know how it's done. So, and it's everything's going great until something goes wrong. And we find, well, I've got more pieces here than, what did they give me these extra bits for? And, you know, it's okay to do that with flat packs. It's not going to affect anything really, apart from you get a telling off from the wife. But you know, God's manual, the Bible, I recommend that we consult that manual before we make any attempts to assemble our future. We need to ensure that you've said yes to God and you can claim all his promises as your own because you are adopted into his family. Then you can claim the victory, the growth, the joy, the power, and the guidance, along with the peace that only the living word of God can give. A peace that passeth all understanding. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just ask you to increase our appetite to get into your word. Lord, we pray that you will open it up to us and you will help us to grow into the people that you would have us to be, into the likeness of your Son. Lord, we know that our human nature gets in the way from time to time, and Lord, no one knows that better than you, because you sent your one and only Son to go to that cross and to pay the price for all of our iniquity, because none of us are pure. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that's why Jesus was necessary to go to that cross for each one of us. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to do that for each one of us, and that we can call you our brother in Christ, your Father, and your Father, Abba, our Father. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you and we thank you and we ask you to bless us and to be with us as we continue our walk with you. Help us to fight the good fight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.